Penelope Douglas's Corrupt has captivated readers since its 2015 release, becoming a TikTok sensation with over 500 million views under hashtag CorruptBook. This dark romance novel, which launched Douglas's Devil's Night series, has been praised by celebrities like Megan Fox and Travis Barker for its intoxicating blend of psychological tension and forbidden desire. The story's exploration of power dynamics between damaged characters has made it a cultural touchstone in the romantasy genre, with readers worldwide drawn to its unflinching portrayal of characters who are simultaneously villainous and irresistible. As one Goodreads reviewer noted, it's the book that makes you question your own moral compass while turning pages faster than you thought possible. In the exclusive community of Thunder Bay, 16-year-old Erica Rika Fain navigates a world of privilege and social expectations. She finds herself increasingly drawn to Michael Crist, the enigmatic older brother of her friend Trevor. While Trevor shows clear interest in her, Rika's attention focuses on Michael and his influential circle of friends, Will Grayson III, Kai Mori, and Damon Torrance, known locally as the Four Horsemen. During their final year, these former student-athletes return to campus for what they claim is a team tradition. Curiosity leads Rika to follow them discreetly, concealing herself in Michael's vehicle as they drive to an abandoned area. There, she observes their annual ritual of community vigilantism, an act that both startles and intrigues her rather than causing fear. At a local establishment called Styx, Rika encounters two individuals who had previously threatened her safety. Michael's response proves unexpected. Instead of intervening directly, he encourages Rika to stand up for herself while providing subtle support. This experience becomes transformative for Rika, awakening her inner strength and resolve. The complex dynamic between Rika and Michael intensifies during an evening at the historic St. Killian's Cathedral. In a profound conversation, Michael expresses their shared desire to break free from societal constraints, telling her, "We both hunger for what others say we shouldn't want." This moment of recognition deeply resonates with Rika. Their connection faces its first major test when Trevor discovers them together. Later, at a social gathering, Rika and Michael finally acknowledge their mutual attraction, but Michael insists on discretion due to family complications. When Rika challenges this arrangement, Michael responds with calculated emotional distance and leaves her alone at the event. What initially appears to be a story of forbidden attraction evolves into an intricate exploration of power, identity, and consequences that will influence all involved for years to come. 3 years pass like a slow-burning fuse, and Rika stands at the precipice of change, preparing to leave Thunder Bay for the gleaming towers of Meridian City. The farewell party at the Crist Mansion buzzes with artificial cheer and underlying tension. Through the crowd, she spots Michael, no longer the rebellious teenager, but a commanding presence in an expertly tailored suit. His success as a starting forward for the Meridian City Storm evident in his confident stance. Their eyes meet across the room, and the electricity between them crackles with 3 years' worth of unspoken accusations and buried memories. When Michael raises his champagne glass in a mock salute, Rika notices the prison tattoo partially visible beneath his sleeve. That night, while packing the last of her belongings, Rika finds an exquisite Damascus blade placed deliberately on her pillow. The steel ripples with ancient patterns, accompanied by a note written in familiar handwriting. "Some debts can only be paid in blood." From her window, she glimpses three figures in black masks standing motionless in the garden below. Gone between one blink and the next, leaving her to question her sanity. In Meridian City, Rika's luxury penthouse becomes both sanctuary and cage. The space is everything she dreamed of, floor-to-ceiling windows, modern furnishings, and a view that stretches to the horizon. Her attempt to forge an identity separate from the Crist legacy falters when she discovers Michael occupies the penthouse above. His presence a constant shadow over her supposed independence. "Still playing at rebellion, little monster," he taunts during a chance elevator encounter, his voice carrying the weight of their shared history. He pointedly eyes her designer watch and expensive phone, reminders that her bid for freedom still depends on family wealth. What Rika doesn't realize is that every detail of her new life has been meticulously orchestrated. Michael and his friends, now hardened by their time in maximum security, have spent years plotting this elaborate choreography of revenge. They believe her testimony 3 years ago led to their wrongful imprisonment, and now they intend to dismantle her life piece by piece. Prison has left indelible marks on the Four Horsemen. Damon, once calculated and controlled, now erupts into violence without warning, his knuckles perpetually scarred from fighting. Will drowns himself in expensive whiskey, trying to forget the cellmate who nearly killed him. Kai, the former charmer, speaks rarely and touches no one, his eyes distant, as if perpetually seeing prison walls. Michael maintains his basketball star facade, but his game footage shows increasing aggression, each drive to the basket fueled by thoughts of vengeance. Rika's daily routine, her morning coffee at Riverside Cafe, her afternoon classes at Meridian University, her evening walks along the harbor, is monitored through an intricate surveillance network. The friendly barista, her academic advisor, even the security guard in her building, all report to the Four Horsemen. They watch her build her new life, knowing each brick will make the eventual demolition all the more satisfying. As Rika explores her newfound independence, she remains oblivious to the web tightening around her, unaware that every step toward freedom brings her closer to their carefully laid trap. When Rika encounters the horsemen in her anthropology class, their psychological warfare begins in earnest. Damon threatens her mother's safety, while Will and Kai close ranks around her, making it clear she's their target. After class, Damon's ominous warning, "No one fucks with you but us," sets the tone for what's to come. Desperate to contact her mother after repeated failed attempts, Rika ventures into Michael's penthouse to ask for help. Instead, she finds herself cornered by all four men who manipulate her into attending a pool party with them. The power dynamics are clear. They make the rules, and she must play along or face consequences for those she loves. At the party, Michael's possessiveness becomes evident when he discovers Rika in a secluded cave with Damon. After sending Damon away, Michael and Rika engage in an intense sexual encounter, with Michael demanding she pleasure herself while he watches. Just as she reaches climax with his assistance, Rika discovers Kai has been watching the entire time. Humiliated, she flees as Kai taunts, "Run all you want, little monster, we're faster." This pattern of control, humiliation, and sexual tension continues as Michael and his friends systematically dismantle Rika's sense of security. When her house in Thunder Bay mysteriously burns down and she can't reach her mother, Rika's vulnerability increases. Michael offers comfort while concealing his role in orchestrating her distress. The psychological manipulation reaches its peak when Rika discovers all her bank accounts have been emptied and Michael has been given power of attorney over her entire inheritance. When she confronts the horsemen at an exclusive gentlemen's club, she learns they've liquidated her assets and possibly harmed her mother. Michael coldly informs her she now belongs to them and orders her to meet them at his parents' house in Thunder Bay. Desperate and terrified, Rika arrives armed with a baseball bat and her Damascus blade, only to be disarmed and tormented by the masked men in the darkened house. As they push her from one to another, groping and taunting her, they explain this is payback, revenge, and restitution for time served. When she screams for Michael to help her, his voice comes from behind her, whispering that she belongs to them now. The truth finally emerges in a devastating confrontation. The horsemen believe Rika betrayed them 3 years ago by uploading incriminating videos that sent them to prison. Will and Kai were incarcerated for assaulting a police officer who had been systematically abusing his younger sister, a crime of protection that cost them their freedom. Damon's case involved the mayor's daughter, a statutory rape charge that ignored their genuine relationship and her consent, instead focusing on their age difference. These 3 years behind bars transformed them from protective brothers into hardened men obsessed with vengeance, each nursing deep wounds that prison only intensified. When Will crosses a line by threatening Rika's mother, describing in graphic detail what he could do to her, Rika snaps. She launches herself at him with unprecedented fury, revealing the fierce protectiveness she feels for her family. The ensuing chaos brings an unexpected shift. Michael, torn between loyalty to his brothers and his growing feelings for Rika, physically places himself between her and Will. This protection comes at a heavy cost, creating the first visible crack in the horsemen's previously unshakable unity. During a quiet moment in the aftermath, Kai reveals to Rika how prison fundamentally altered their brotherhood. He describes endless nights in their cells, planning every detail of their revenge, how it became their lifeline, their reason to survive each day. The revenge fantasy provided structure, purpose, and a shared goal that kept them connected despite their isolation. His confession shows how their imprisonment twisted their sense of justice into something darker, making vengeance feel like salvation. Michael's possessive nature surfaces violently when he discovers Rika and Kai's intimate conversation. After a heated argument that evolves into an intense physical encounter, he makes a territorial display at a crowded party. Standing on a table, he declares Rika horseman property, effectively marking her as untouchable to other men. His proclamation reveals both his desperate need to control her and his fear of losing her to someone else, even his own brother. Rika, refusing to be claimed like territory, orchestrates an elaborate response. She seduces Alex, a female escort known to the horsemen, ensuring they'll be discovered in Michael's own bed. When he finds them together, Rika delivers her calculated response with surgical precision. "Game change. New players. You're not needed. Sorry." Her words mirror his possessiveness while demonstrating her ability to wield power just as effectively. Their relationship evolves into an intricate dance of dominance and submission, each move calculated to provoke and challenge the other. Behind their power plays lies a deeper current of understanding. Both recognize in each other a matching intensity, a similar capacity for both love and destruction. Their connection exists in the dangerous space between revenge and redemption, where every interaction carries the potential for both healing and harm. As tensions reach their breaking point, a devastating revelation shatters the horseman's world. Through a series of encrypted files and hidden security footage, they discover that Rika, the woman they've blamed and tormented, never betrayed them at all. The incriminating videos that led to their imprisonment were meticulously crafted and uploaded by Trevor, Michael's younger brother, who has harbored a toxic combination of jealousy and obsession toward both Michael's success and Rika for over a decade. Trevor's manipulation extends beyond the videos. He had systematically destroyed evidence of his involvement, bribed key witnesses, and orchestrated events to ensure his brother's downfall. His jealousy stemmed from childhood, where Michael consistently overshadowed him in their father's eyes, in business acumen, social standing, and especially in winning Rika's affections despite never openly pursuing them. The situation reaches its climax when Trevor, realizing his scheme is unraveling, kidnaps Rika and forces her onto the Crist family yacht, a symbol of the wealth and status he's always coveted. With Damon's unwilling assistance, secured through blackmail and threats to his family, Trevor reveals his complete plan: eliminate both Rika and Michael, making himself the sole heir to the Crist Empire. His confession is chilling in its calculation, describing years of patient planning and accumulated resentment. Michael tracks them to the yacht through Rika's cleverly activated phone GPS. In the ensuing confrontation, Trevor, desperate and unhinged, strikes Rika with a champagne bottle and throws her overboard into the dark waters. The moment crystallizes everything Michael has feared about his brother's instability and dangerous obsession. Rika, however, proves her resilience once again. Having anticipated Trevor's violence, she had concealed a broken wine glass shard in her sleeve. Using it to cut her bonds underwater, she fights her way to the surface, where Michael, who dove in after her, helps her to safety. When they return to the yacht, they find Trevor injured from his struggle with Damon, begging for mercy and claiming familial bonds. Michael's decision becomes the defining moment of his transformation, from the calculated businessman to someone who will do anything to protect those he loves. He methodically pushes Trevor into the yacht's pool, holding him under while stating with cold certainty, "You would never have been safe. None of us would have been." In the quiet aftermath, as dawn breaks over the water, Michael finally allows his carefully constructed walls to crumble. Looking at Rika, still wrapped in emergency blankets, he confesses what everyone but him has always known. "I love you, Rika." The admission opens a flood of shared memories. Her defending him on the playground at 7, him secretly attending her dance recitals, years of protecting each other while pretending not to care. They realize their journey, despite its darkness and pain, has always been leading them back to each other. 3 weeks after Trevor's death, life begins to normalize. At Thanksgiving dinner at the Crist home, Rika arrives with her mother, who has returned from rehabilitation in California. Mrs. Crist is coping with Trevor's death, while Mr. Crist now focuses his ambitions on Michael, unaware that Michael has broken the family trust and put everything in Rika's name. The remaining horsemen learn that Damon has fled to Russia after his role in Trevor's plot was revealed. When Michael and Kai discuss going after him, Rika intervenes, insisting they leave him alone. There's been enough pain, and she believes Damon won't return after failing twice. Michael agrees it's time to move forward and wreak a little fucking havoc again, but in a different way. A flashback reveals a formative moment in Michael and Rika's relationship. Years earlier, they encountered a fatally injured dog. Rather than sending Rika away, Michael made her watch as he mercifully ended the animal's suffering, believing she needed to learn that death is sometimes necessary. Though initially horrified, this experience taught Rika about the complex nature of mercy and cruelty, a lesson that would shape her understanding of Michael and his actions. In their final scene together, Michael takes Rika somewhere private during the Thanksgiving gathering. As they stand together, both transformed by their shared ordeal, there's an understanding that their relationship will always contain elements of darkness. Yet within that darkness, they've found a profound connection, two people who recognize and accept each other's most hidden selves. Corrupt ultimately tells the story of two damaged people who find redemption not by escaping their darkness, but by embracing it together. Their love isn't pure or conventional. It's complicated by power games, vengeance, and shared trauma. But it's authentic to who they are, forged in fire and strengthened by survival. In each other, Michael and Rika find not just passion, but understanding and acceptance of their complete selves, both the light and the shadow. At its core, Corrupt explores the intricate psychology of power dynamics in relationships, delving deep into the complexities of control and submission. Michael and Rika's connection thrives on an elaborate dance of dominance, pushing and pulling, challenging and yielding, each testing the other's limits while discovering their own. Their relationship transcends conventional romance tropes, suggesting that for certain individuals, genuine passion is inextricably linked to power exchanges. The constant shift of control between them creates a magnetic tension that drives both the narrative and their personal growth. The novel meticulously examines how trauma shapes identity and relationships, revealing layers of psychological complexity in each character. Michael's need to control stems from his father's emotional abuse and the crushing pressure to succeed in a wealthy family shadow, manifesting in his obsessive need to orchestrate every aspect of his life and relationships. Rika's attraction to danger emerges from a lifetime of stifling protection, leading her to seek out increasingly risky situations that make her feel alive. The horsemen's unshakable loyalty to each other is forged in the crucible of shared trauma during their imprisonment, creating bonds that blur the lines between brotherhood and codependency. Douglas masterfully navigates moral ambiguity, presenting characters who commit morally reprehensible acts yet remain deeply human and surprisingly sympathetic. Michael's passive role in his brother's drowning reveals both his capacity for cruelty and his overwhelming guilt. Rika's willing participation in criminal activities demonstrates her evolution from innocent bystander to active conspirator. The horsemen's elaborate revenge schemes showcase both their tactical brilliance and their moral deterioration. These complex characterizations force readers to examine their own ethical boundaries and question why they find themselves emotionally invested in characters who repeatedly cross moral lines. The novel's most provocative assertion is that some individuals are inherently drawn to the darkness in others, not with the intention to reform or heal, but because they recognize and resonate with similar shadows within themselves. When Michael confesses to Rika, "I'm hungry, I want everything they tell me I can't have, and I see that hunger in you too," he's acknowledging their shared desire to break free from societal constraints and explore forbidden territories. This mutual recognition of darkness becomes the foundation of their connection, suggesting that true intimacy requires complete acceptance of both light and shadow. In this world of extreme wealth, power dynamics, and dangerous games, Douglas crafts a compelling narrative about authentic connection in unlikely places. The story suggests that genuine love isn't about finding someone perfect or someone who will fix you. It's about finding someone who sees your darkest self and chooses you anyway, who recognizes your shadows and meets them with their own. This theme resonates throughout the novel, challenging conventional notions of romance and redemption while exploring the complex intersection of power, desire, and human connection. Corrupt launched Penelope Douglas's influential Devil's Night series, establishing a new benchmark for dark romance that continues through Hideaway, Kill Switch, and Nightfall. Each subsequent book delves into the complex lives of different horsemen, weaving an intricate web of interconnected stories that reveal how these childhood friends became the powerful and dangerous men they are. The series has cultivated an intensely loyal following, particularly among readers who appreciate its sophisticated handling of psychological themes and its willingness to venture into morally ambiguous territory. What sets Corrupt apart and helped establish the series' reputation is its bold departure from traditional romance tropes. Rather than offering a straightforward tale of redemption, it presents characters who exist in various shades of gray. Michael Crist, for instance, embodies both protective instincts and destructive tendencies, while Rika's journey from innocence to empowerment challenges conventional victim narratives. This complexity extends throughout the series, with each book building upon the psychological foundation established in Corrupt. The novel's impact on the dark romance genre has been significant and lasting. It helped normalize more complex narrative structures in romance, where past and present storylines interweave to reveal deeper truths about character motivations. The book's success also paved the way for more authors to explore darker themes within romance, demonstrating that readers were ready for stories that didn't shy away from difficult subjects or morally complicated characters. Douglas's creation of the Four Horsemen, Michael, Will, Kai, and Banks, introduced a brotherhood dynamic that resonated deeply with readers. Their complex relationships, marked by both loyalty and betrayal, became a blueprint for many subsequent dark romance series. The world of Thunder Bay, with its masks and Devil's Night traditions, created an atmospheric backdrop that other authors would later emulate in their own work. For readers who discover Corrupt, the novel serves as both a standalone dark romance and a gateway into a more extensive exploration of power, revenge, and redemption. Its enduring appeal lies in its ability to challenge readers' expectations while delivering an emotionally satisfying story. The legacy of Corrupt continues to influence the dark romance genre, proving that readers are willing, even eager, to explore the shadows of human nature when guided by skilled storytelling.